Our passage of scripture tonight, as we continue through the Psalms, is Psalm 38. Psalm 38. A psalm of David to bring to remembrance. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure, for your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it has also gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off. Those also who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all the day long. But I, like a deaf man, do not hear, and I, like a mute, who does not open his mouth. Thus I am like the man who does not hear, and in whose mouth is no response. For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me, lest when my foot slips, they exalt themselves against me. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I declare my iniquity. I will be in anguish over my sin. But my enemies are vigorous, and they are strong. And those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied. Those also who render evil for good, they are my adversaries, because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. The biblical title of this psalm is a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. And Matthew Henry says about that title, he says, we will suppose it is penned when he was sick and in pain. And then it teaches us that in times of sickness, or that times of sickness are times to bring to remembrance, to bring the sin to remembrance, for which God contended with us to awaken our consciences to deal faithfully and plainly with us, and to set our sins in order before us for our humiliation. And so what Matthew Henry is saying there is when we get sick, one of the purposes that God allows that is so that we would humble ourselves, that we would remember what our sins are and how great they are and the wrath they deserve. They deserve worse than our sicknesses. And that's what he's saying here. And that's what he's saying that David is saying. David himself, again, I've said this many times in the New Testament, he's called a man after God's own heart. And he's considered the greatest king in Israel, and yet he was a sinner. And not only a sinner, but a great sinner. And so we learn from him, not just from what he does right and well, but also we learn from him in regard to sin. And when we fall into sin, we see from David what we should do when our sins overwhelm us. Well, first we see in this psalm, David's pleading for relief. And the first relief that he desires is relief from God's wrath or from more of God's wrath. He says in verse 1, a psalm of David, to bring to remembrance, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Some people would say, believers never experience God's wrath. We experience his discipline and his, you know, trials from the Lord, but wrath is heated anger. You think David experienced God's wrath? David was somebody that God favored to a great degree. He made him king, even though he was just a shepherd boy. He gave him victory over Goliath. He gave him the house of King Saul. He made him king over Israel. He provided him many things. And then David, after God had done all these things, sinned greatly against God by taking another man's wife and murdering him. And I believe at that point, God was hot, mad against David. And David deserved it, that wrath. Now, he doesn't have eternal wrath, but he experienced God's wrath. And I believe if David can experience God's wrath, we also could experience it. We see he's pleading also for relief from his current pains. They're described, verse 2, for your arrows pierce me deeply. And what is an arrow? It's something that you shoot and it hits you fast and quickly and painfully. It sticks in you. Sometimes you might have a hard time getting it out. It's a quick thing. Your arrows pierce me deeply and your hand presses me down. I believe he was sick at this time, and he may have been feeling some sharp pains. And God's hand, the hand of his providence that allowed David to be sick, is pressing down on David, not just physically because David is sick, but also spiritually because David knows he deserves to be sick. He knows his sin has caused this sickness. His conscience is bothering him. And so the hand of God is shown in that way, in the sharp pains, in the heavy weighted pains, in both kinds of pains, and these pains are from God. He says, your arrows, your hand is waiting upon me. He knew these things were from God that were coming upon him. Second main point, while David recognizes God's sovereignty, that's why he says your, over his pains, he rightly blames his own sin as the cause of his pain. He knows God is doing it. God is allowing it. But is he saying, God, you're wrong to punish me this way? No, he's not. He's acknowledging his own sin is the reason for this. In verse 3, David recognizes the moral cause of his sickness, pain, and trials is God's judgment of sin. He says, there's no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. Your anger, God's anger. And why is God angry? Because of David's sin. And he's not saying God is wrong to be angry. He's saying, I deserve this. In the King James Version, the word translated health is translated rest, meaning there's no rest in my bones. And I think the word could be a little bit of both of that. I mean, any of you have experienced, and I'm sure some of you at least have experienced illness that keeps you awake at night. Has anybody here experienced that? You know, you're sick, and that's one thing, and you're rolling around in bed, and you get no rest either. The thing you need most is to sleep and to rest, but the pain and the sickness is so bad you can't rest. It keeps you awake. And that's what David is experiencing here. And because there's no soundness in his flesh, he can't find health, he has no rest, and God is bringing this on him, but he knows it's because of his sin. And Christ is the only cure. The only one that brings us health. He's the only one that brings us rest from sin. Thomas Watson writes this. He says, "Everything is in motion till it comes at the center. Christ is the center of the soul. The needle of the compass trembles till it comes to its north pole." Thomas Watson. Do you remember? Some of you like me probably had a compass at one point. I don't even have a compass anymore. But I remember having a compass. And before the needle settles on that north, it's going like this. And that's what he's talking about. It's going like this until it settles. Until we are resting in Christ, we are unsettled. And that's what he's saying. We have no rest. We have no health until we are right again with God. Number two, in verse 4, David communicates the fact that his sins were too much for him. He says, "For my iniquities have gone over my head." I pictured quicksand. He's trying to get out of it, but it's over his head. He's to the point where he can't breathe, or he's drowning. And it says, "Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." You're trying to lift something that's on top of you, but you can't get it off. And that's what he says his sins were, his iniquities. They were over his head. See, Spurgeon says, "Like waves of the deep sea, like black mire, in which a man utterly sinks, above my hopes, my strength, and my life itself, my sin rises in its terror." That's where we have no hope. We're lost. "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more." That's where David was. And we're under that water. We're in that horrible place. Note, this is David, the man after God's own heart, the greatest king in Israel. And yet he speaks of his own foolishness and sins. Herman Witsius says this. He says, "It's singular. It is of singular use to us," meaning it has this great use, this wonderful use, this very special use, "that the backslidings of holy men of God are recorded in holy writ. Spots appear nowhere more disagreeable than it when seen in the most beautiful face or on the cleanest garment." You know, when the sin is shown on something beautiful, like a godly person, it looks a lot worse than on somebody who's horrible all the time. "And it's expedient to have a perfect knowledge of the filthiness of sin. We also learn from them to think humbly of ourselves, to depend on the grace of God, to keep a stricter eye upon ourselves, lest perhaps we fall into the same or more grievous sin." And he alludes to Galatians 6:1. Herman Witsius, when we look at and see even godly people like David fall into sin, we should guard our hearts. We should watch it. We should see how bad it looks when somebody who has a reputation for being good falls. Thirdly, David lists his many pains and difficulties again, blaming only himself for them. He says, "My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness." Why is he in this situation? Because of his sin, because of his foolishness. You know, foolishness in Scripture sometimes meant unregenerate, meaning you're not really saved. And here he's saying, and we're talking about his foolishness, his unsaved type of behavior, I think is what he's saying. Note how David feels and expresses the impact and pain of his sin. First, constant mourning. Verse 6, "I am troubled, I am bowed down, I go mourning all the day long." I am troubled. It's bothering me. I am bowed down, meaning the weight is on me, so I can't stand up straight. And I go mourning all the day long. Number two, fever. "No sound flesh, for my loins are full of inflammation," meaning they're hot. His legs are hot. I go, he says, there is no soundness in my flesh. Nothing is normal. Nothing is right. Nothing is healthy. He probably really was physically sick at this time. 3, weakness, groaning, turmoil of the heart. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. And then 4, we see David's honesty and openness with God about his sin and his pain. And this, the reason he is so honest is because he can't be anything else. He knows God sees him. And if he tried to lie, God would see that as well. So he says, Lord, all my desire is before you. Everything I've desired, you see and you know. And he says, my sighing is not hidden from you. He's saying, Lord, you see this all. You see my desire, whether it's good or evil. You see my sighing, my crying, my pleading with you. A panting heart and a vision darkened. He says, my heart pants. Have you ever thought of that? What a picture. Your heart. And I pictured a dog panting because their eyes. But his heart, he's saying, is panting. And then he says, my strength fails me. For as the light of my eyes, it is also gone from me. He doesn't say he's totally blind at this part, but the light of his eyes is gone, which means he's like in the darkness. He's not really seeing. Whether he means that physically, that because he's so sick, he can't see hardly in front of his face, or because spiritually, morally, he's in this dark place where all he can see is sin and immoral actions, and he's not able to do what is right. It's probably both of those things. He probably was physically sick, that he was having trouble seeing and everything was dark, and spiritually he's sick to the point where he knows his heart is evil. David's friends are gone. His friends are far from him. Verse 11. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague. Don't get near me, David. Not with whatever you got. I don't want that. That's how his friends are acting. Don't come close to me. And my relatives stand afar off. Have you ever had somebody do that to you? Somebody that you're feeling really, really bad. And they don't want anything to do with you. They say, go ahead and suffer. I don't want to be near you. I've had that happen. They go away from you. And these are his friends and his relatives, those who were close. And yet his enemies were coming like sharks to the blood. He says, those who seek my life lay snares for me. They're laying traps for him. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all the day long. Psalm 38:12. They're seeing David. He's hurting. He's falling. He's failing. And they're circling him like sharks. They're ready to get him. They're planning his downfall. They're there. His friends are far away, but his enemies are close. David, like a deaf mute with God, has no spiritual hearing or voice. He says, but I, like a deaf man, do not hear. So his eyes aren't working. He's also not hearing. And like a mute man who does not open his mouth, thus I am like a man who does not hear and in whose mouth is no response. And so he's having trouble hearing, trouble speaking. Somehow he still writes the psalm. And probably wrote it afterwards, but this was where he was. Not able to speak, not able to hear. Lastly, we see here David's only hope is in God and in his grace. God is David's hope, for he says in verses 15 and 16, for in you, O Lord, I hope. He doesn't have any hope in himself. You will hear. Even though his voice isn't working, he's trusting God will hear his speech, even though it's not speech. O Lord my God, for I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me. Lest my foot slips and they exalt themselves against me. Talking about his enemies. Though David cannot hear or speak, he knows God will hear anyway. It's not the power of our praying or the loudness of our voices, but God's ability to hear even weak and sometimes completely unspoken prayers. That's where our hope is. God is able to hear even our hearts, even when we don't say anything. He knows what we need, what we desire, when we cannot even think straight. He knows how to answer prayers. David's hope was definitely not in himself. He says, "For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me." He's quite ready for his own fall. He knows he cannot. As he's already said, his sin is too heavy for him. It's over his head. His enemies are surrounding him. His friends have abandoned him. And here he is. He's ready to fall. He's ready to give up, is what he's saying. There's nothing in me, no strength in me, he's saying. And this is his norm. He understands his sin. And his sorrow is his norm as well. He says, "My sorrow is continually before me." All that he can see now, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's just sorrow, 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 all as far as he can see. It's continuing before him. And if there is a light at the end of the tunnel, he doesn't see it at this point. He says that he will confess and be in anguish over his sins. He says, "For I declare my iniquity, I will be in anguish over my sin." Really, the whole psalm is that, isn't it? This is a song he's wrote to communicate his anguish over his sin. He's feeling deeply because of his sin. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Is David mourning here? You bet he's mourning. Do we mourn better when we're sick? Yep, that's something we do better when we're sick. We can mourn and cry and moan. And when other people say, "Forget it, I don't want to be with you, you moaner," God is there. He is our hope. And that's what David's hope is. He's only in God. And so he knows that alone by himself, without God's help, he's no match for his enemies. As sick as he is, as he's crawling along, if he's not even crawling, as his eyes are not seeing and his mouth is not making any sound and he can't hear, he says, "But my enemies are vigorous and they are strong. And those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied." Again, that's that same thing. God may be punishing David for his sin, but his enemies want to destroy him. They hate him wrongfully, not because of his sin, but because he's done good things in his life. And they come and they multiply against him. And they are vigorous and they are strong when he is sick. There's energy there. There's vigorous, strong, and they are more and more of them. And so he knows why his enemies are against him. And not because of his sin, but because he does good. He says in verse 20, "Those who render evil for good, they are my adversaries, because I follow what is good." David definitely was a sinner, and he confesses his sin. He was a failure in many ways. But his enemies weren't attacking him because of that. They were attacking him because he, in his life, sought to do what was right and do what is good. And so that's why they were after him. And that's why God would fight against his enemies, even though he might allow the enemies to win against David somewhat, because David was a sinner. Ultimately, they were wrong. And so David could pray against them. David's hope is a praying hope. The last couple verses: "Do not forsake me, O God, my God. Do not be far from me." He's saying, "Here I am. I've sinned. I failed. Do not forsake me. Don't leave me alone. Do not be far from me." His friends had moved further away, but he says, "God, do not be far from me. He says, make haste to help me, which means come speedily now, make haste. And then he says, O Lord, my salvation. He knew God was his salvation. God was the one who would heal him. God's the one who would help him. God's the one who would ultimately save him. God had always saved David. He saved him against Goliath. He saved him through all his battles through life. And I believe that you will see David in heaven, saved from all his sins. Franz Delitzsch, a commentary writer, wrote, faith, the suppliant, meaning the prayerful faith, is now made faith triumphant. When David said, O Lord, my salvation, that's what he means. When he said that, at that very moment, he was triumphant, even in the midst of his sickness, his illness, and his sorrow, even in the midst of his sin, because he was trusting in the Lord to save him, he would be saved. Look unto me, Scripture says, look unto me, all the ends of the earth. And it says, I am your salvation, meaning God is our salvation. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for what we see in your word, the salvation that David tells us about, even when it seems he's at his worst, sinful, sick because of that sin, under your wrath because of that sin. And yet in that circumstance, he cries to you and asks for forgiveness, asks for grace, asks for your help. And Father, we thank you that we see this in Scripture. And that because of this, we know that when we've sinned, when we've gone far from you, that you're a God who listens, that hears, that is our salvation. And Father, in these circumstances, we pray you'd help us to be like David, to be men and women after your own heart that go to you when we need you. You know none of us are perfect. You know all of us fall short. And yet your Son paid the penalty on the cross for our sins. And we can trust in that, and we trust in you. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.